Blog Talk Radio.
Smart Sound.
Good afternoon and happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there that are listening in across the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, and around the country, as well as the world, because Blog Talk Radio, Our Black News, is broadcast to every country that will let us off in there. And that's everywhere. They like us, okay? So we've been doing pretty good, but there's a lot going on. Let's jump right into it, Jonathan. What's the deal going on in Uptown? I mean, you have a little insight. I got a little insight. Let's get it out there.
Yeah, well, what happened last night, and it was, and we have to let people know, it was a war zone in Minneapolis last night. And not only in Minneapolis, it was in Roseville, New Hope, Robbinsdale, St. Paul, downtown, uptown, northeast. Shots were fired all over the Minneapolis metropolitan area.
Yes.
It just seems like, well, they said that 12 people were shot. One person was killed on Hennepin and Lagoon.
Oh, no.
And when you're hearing these type of numbers, these are headlines that you see, you know, typically in Chicago, South Side, West Side of Chicago. But now it is in Uptown Minneapolis. And if you're familiar with Minneapolis, you know that the Uptown area is really basically a white area.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
So now, speculations are coming in. Maybe it could have been, you know, a gang incident. It could have been a racial incident. The police are not talking about it. And that's why I think Our Black News, we had to do an immediate episode today just to talk about all the things that are going on. Because, Don, you're hearing the same thing. Aaron, is people are afraid to go out.
Yeah, and it's been like that for a while, especially with downtown Minneapolis. And just let me explain something here to our listeners also. The camera system in the uptown area between Lagoon and Lake Street, going and up to Lake Street north and south, and then on, I mean, east and west on Lagoon, and then on Hennepin, north and south to from 30th to Lagoon, and then east and west, each block, east side. Whoever did the shooting is on camera, okay?
Period.
And I know they're going to find out. And I saw people posting today that it was some white supremacists. I saw other people posting stuff about, yeah, these brothers getting into it, these black men, blah, blah, over a relationship thing with a woman. I've heard that. And then I actually watched some live footage where some of our community, I call them whackivists, people were getting shot and they were on their phone, like recording it. I'm saying, like, call the police, call the ambulance, you know? Don't sit there.
Right.
Don't give me a play-by-play and someone's dead on the ground. You
right.
know?
At least get the medical emergency of the appropriate people there on the scene before you do that. And, you know, I seen a lot of people last night who are those type of activists, a.k.a. Those who are getting these grants and stuff like this, and they swear up and down they're against this violence, they're going to do this. But really all they're doing is down there in the scene recording what's going on, and the police right now aren't giving us any information. And we were talking about this earlier off the air, but we know that this is not, this is very unfamiliar to Uptown Minneapolis.
Yeah.
You know, there's beans and stuff like that, but of this magnitude where there's 12 shot, multiple shootings throughout the city, downtown, northeast, What is going on? Is it racial relations? Is the gang violence increasing? Are the police just not, you know, coming to work? And we're hearing other things, and I'm getting reports from other people within the department are saying that there's this thing called, and people, I need everybody to look it up. It's called the blue flu. And I'm right now, upset going on, and they're calling in and saying, nope, we're using our sick time. We're not going to respond to it because you guys are upset with us. So I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of strange things happening. And, you know, like you said, I mean, uptown in the mid-80s till about the mid-90s before they closed Williams Pub was a place where, you know, you would see Prince sitting in Filio's or The Time, Morris Day, those guys. And Williams Pub was right down the street and it was a premier place, premier area. And there wasn't, you know, there's nice restaurants there. And I mean, they've done things at different places to kind of change the image of Uptown and have less black traffic. And when I say less black traffic, it means less of us. Say that again, Jonathan. I didn't get it.
I said, no, definitely strategic on trying to keep black traffic out of Uptown.
Yeah, and to hear the shooting, you know, 12 people shot, one dead, a couple few in critical condition, you know, we need to find out and get to the bottom of this because the Star Tribune only tells you a little bit. The police have it. They know what happened. I'm pretty sure they've identified, you know, at least by the camera, who shot who, when they shot, and who the culprits were, and hopefully it'll be caught. And we figure this out because this is pretty serious. Because, like you said, people don't want to go to Uptown. And people, you know, you think the shutdown from COVID-19 was bad. You wait till people stop going into Uptown in Minneapolis and downtown Minneapolis and that 50th and Nicollet, that shopping area up there and those other areas in Minneapolis. You know, you're going to have downtown St. Paul in about 2 days. You know, downtown St. Paul is dead, okay, period. And right. Minneapolis is turning into that.
Due to the violence, Don?
No, well, St. Paul didn't really have any violence downtown, except, you know, you had teenage kids running through the skyways, and there'll be some confrontations, but not on the level that St. Paul has had. So I guess what I'm trying, I mean, Minneapolis has had. So what I'm trying to say that Minneapolis is a little bit faster, a little bit bigger, more people, but yet there's more violence in the downtown. Whereas St. Paul... I just drove through downtown St. Paul before I got home, right before I did the show. I went to a nursery to get some plants for the garden. And I think I counted 4 people on the street. You know, I mean, it's really slow, really slow. We are live for 30 minutes today, a quick show, but our call-in number is open. It's 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. If you have a question, quick comment, you can give us a call. We appreciate it. But yeah, and something you said really stuck out to me earlier. Mayor Jacob Fry has been on the hot seat for a while. And now, you know, the police chief, Rondo, Chief Rondo, will be on the hot seat. There's a lot of craziness going on. And there's a lot of stuff that shouldn't be happening that is happening in Minneapolis. Now, let's put a pin in that. Let's talk about these people that are in downtown Minneapolis, and I'm not demonizing them, but I need to talk about these different groups. I'm not going to even say them by name so they can't say we slandered them, but they wear green shirts. and so there is something going on with this group, and I know like about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, there were events happening with this group and with some other groups that city get contracts from the city of Minneapolis. Because, you know, Mad Dad, I'll just say it, is a 501c3 certified, legit. And I know they have a lot of LLCs and, well, a few LLCs that aren't nonprofits yet working with them that they've received money for. And they're passing out for people to be out on the street. But I don't see any proactive engagement. Plus, Jonathan, you got to be really honest. The guys that are going to shoot, usually they're not walking down the street in Uptown hanging out. They're in cars, and they're on a mission from their house or wherever to go get somebody.
And that's the logic, NC Don. You hit on a major point. When we're thinking about criminality, when we're thinking about those who are in these groups who are mm-hmm. for nonviolence or whatever the case may be, we have to understand a lot of the times when it's domestic violence, they're not doing this stuff on the
street. On a mission from their house or wherever to go get some rain.
I'm sorry.
And that's the logic, NC Don. You hit on a major point.
We got a little feedback. I got it. Sorry. Go ahead.
What's going on is that the criminality aspect, the part that people are not understanding is when the acts are being committed, and most of the time it's behind closed doors or the perpetrator is about to go do what they need to. The logic behind sitting around, walking around, especially in Uptown, if you got to Uptown and you were recording people laying on the ground shot, were you out there hanging out? Because you weren't just walking out there trying to stop crime, because crime is all downtown and over north and all that. You could do that elsewhere. What were y'all doing? And it was not that many people out there in green shirts. I mean, you know, we were talking about Mad Dads or whoever it is. You know, what are we actually doing? Where is this money? Where can this money be used? And, you know, I'm not mad at Mad Dads or whoever, DJ or whatever, whoever's getting money. But what I'm upset is with the Minneapolis governmental leadership, whether it's, you know, Jacob Fry or Rondo in these positions that are supposed to do it, because now the fire, I don't know if you heard this, but it was breaking news that the fire department, you know, internally are totally upset with Minneapolis leadership, everybody within the department, because they, I guess, said, we're told to let the city burn down.
Wow.
And so when we're hearing these stories and police are calling in for blue flu and 12 people shot, one dead in Uptown, we have to ask these major questions and these concerning questions. What in the world is going on?
Yeah, exactly. And how are they using this money? I mean, basically it boils down to economics. You know, they're paying people to be out in the street to collaborate, to identify and whatever, snitch or whatever. During the streets of downtown Minneapolis and wherever, but I don't see any good coming out of it. And like you said, we need to make sure those funding streams apply to programs and to engagement that actually works. But again, you have another systemic issue. Like I just said, the people that will shoot, that will do those kind of that level of crime are not necessarily going to hang out at a restaurant on Hennepin Avenue. Okay, they're not necessarily gonna. Yeah, and so, I mean, come on, your outreach is not that good because you're not going in the hood. It seems like, you know, this is a entertainment or showbiz piece. You know, remember our ancestors used to shoot Negroes for dancing for white people. You know.
We're seeing a lot of this behavior for this immediate quick money. You know, the money's not even sustainable. You got these guys out there, many of them guys, they need rehabilitation. Okay. Mm-hmm. I understand that some of them say they beat, you know, the problems that they're dealing with. But what I'm seeing is many times in these organizations, we got brothers who are barely getting a little bit of money and they're just tagging along and they see Mason running around and doing all these different things. And they're like, man, brother. And I'm fed up with the violence and stuff like that. And there's things that we can do within the system to actually bring this change about. And Don, like we said, we talked to representatives.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to the Don Thompsons. What are we going to do for legislation? But it's looking like we need leadership change at this point.
And, you know, Ramsey County created something with another organization. And I know John Thompson sits on that panel, Anika Bowie, and a couple other folks with the city of Ramsey County. And I don't understand. I understand John Thompson, but I don't really understand the rest of the appointees. And it seems to me like this is a left-leaning organization because the Southern folks haven't had a real job since they left college, you know?
Right.
And why are they creating jobs for these people? Why don't they let these people get out and get on their own and do what they need to do and get some experience? But I'll find out. I'll have more about that and probably interview the principals of that program.
Get it on the notes. You get a lot of these individuals, and, you know, we don't have to say anybody's names specifically, but what, you know, John Thompson, he's out here fighting and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these other people that are, you know, they're here to create division. They're, you know, they haven't, you know, they're not married. I'm not saying nothing about being married and stuff like that, but they're 22, 23 years old. They're trying to get... They're getting into these leadership roles for whatever case may be, but really the left, and I hate to say this, but it's the left using their ethnic background to further their agenda.
Yeah.
And I'm so fed up with it, and John knows this. You know, I pray that the brother gets in. It's no guarantee. I heard Betsy jumped in the race. Or Betty or whatever, whoever, Betty or Betsy. Well, somebody jumped in the race to be his, to go against him. So he's going to have an uphill battle.
Yeah.
But I think right now, if we don't put the pressure on to Jacob Fries, the Rondo, do we see the change that we want for Minnesota or Minneapolis per se?
Mm-hmm.
And it goes for Melvin Carter as well.
Yeah, and I agree with that 100%. Yeah, there's some issues, and one of the things I had someone, a commenter on here, ask, you know, what will we do specifically? Be specific. And one of the things we said on the last show was maybe to bring back the Neighborhood Youth Corps and employ these kids, 14 to 21, Because the county, Hennepin County and Ramsey County is not that far behind. But Hennepin County spends over $1 billion a year on people 12 to what, 21. And there is no real systemic change in any of the systems. So why can't we don't need any extra money? Why don't we take some of that budget and filter it into a compensated work therapy program for people unemployed and underemployed and start them out working 20 hours a week? You know, let their legs get there's corporations downtown that they have a janitorial staff or engineering staff. They have people who file stuff and put stuff away. They have people who serve food, these corporations. There's enough corporations and businesses that they can hire probably 7,000 people. And if that 7,000 number is very important, because there was this group in North Minneapolis. I don't want to give them any credit, so I'm not going to name their name. But there's this group, the North Side, I want to say lenders, but that's not it. It has something to do with North Minneapolis. But they did a research study that I'll post later, and it says that if the people in North Minneapolis, 7,000 people, got gainful employment in North Minneapolis, the unemployment rate in 55411 and 55405 and 55412 would go down to be equal white Minnesota's unemployment rate. But yet no one has been able to achieve that. And this is one way the Neighborhood Youth Corps would be a way to achieve it, because not only is it heavy summer, but it's also year round, you know, especially in the schools. And that's what we need. We need to fix that education piece, because these kids are like, today on university, I drive by a bus shelter and there's kids busting the glass out of bus shelters. You know, I wound up, I'm like, what'd you do that for? That didn't make any sense.
And
you know?
We know, Don, and like you touched on, when you're talking about things like the youth corps and working and being able to say, you know what, pay them maybe $15 an hour, $14 an hour. They're going to have enough money to take their girlfriend or boyfriend out on a date. They can go to the movies. They don't have to worry about mom trying to help them out. They can buy school clothes. They can work and they're using their time accordingly, so they're not wasting their time at the bus stop with no money in their pocket, busting out windows, not doing nothing. We have to activate them to want to do more, and we have the resources, and systematically we have the design to do so. We just have to be able to forge ahead and put in and go to the next step and make legislation happen.
You're absolutely right.
You got to make the change.
And if the changes don't come soon, Minneapolis and St. Paul are basically going to be implode on themselves, and it's going to become a war zone. It's like right now when you get in the car, you drive from St. Paul down Snelling University, you have to stay frosty. You know, because right. You don't know what element is going on. Now they have fences up around all these buildings that were burnt down during the protests, et cetera. And, you know, it's a shady element. There's something else, you know, happening and brewing that we're not, you know, privy to that information. But getting back to the uptown area, like you said, dude, the newspaper reported one place. And there were shootings everywhere last night, all across the metro.
Right, and but you know, right now, maybe they're tailoring to the Minnesotans who are possibly afraid and they don't want property values to go down.
Yeah, they do.
Happen within these areas, but whether you know it or not, the bartenders, you know, they reached out to me, people from Cowboy, like the Jacks, and you know, Slams, and they're over at Stella's, and they're over at Chino Latino's. People were absolutely petrified last night in Uptown, and they said, "What is going on, Mason? Where are the police at? Where are these groups that say they're for nonviolence, and they're not? They're just recording."
Exactly.
And so, what happens next? I don't know. I imagine next weekend there might be precautions out in Uptown.
Oh, you know what? There's going to be something going on tonight, I'm sure. This is not over with, because you know what? The media and the police department, well, the police department, Marshall, knows what's going on. But they can't stop it because we've made no connections in the community where that might happen. The city of Minneapolis is paying people to be out on the street. They're not paying you. They're not paying me to be out on the street. But they're paying a group of people that have not made any questions that can inquire about what's going on, what's happening. And now you'll have these people run to the forefront when there's a camera and a microphone or a newspaper and give interviews and say, okay, this is what we got to do. But you need to look at this, because this is the same tired group of people that have been running in front of the camera, getting money and It's basically about getting the money. You know, I'm not, let me set this up straight. I don't care if you make $500,000 a year working for a nonprofit. That is not my problem. But can you pull up 5 or more 10 people with you? Okay. Can you help out folks to make sure that the wealth gets distributed? Because right now we got folks, you know, making 200 G's during a Vikings game during a regular time. That's not doing anything for the community, period. So come on, man. Mystery with that.
Those are the Band-Aids. This is the systematic Band-Aids that they use.
Mm-hmm.
And they use Negroes to fulfill their obligations to keep us quiet. But I think we're at a spot right now where the educated minds are saying, well, no, we don't need to be out there all the time. What we're going to do is build this systematic change and take some of that funding that goes to those groups and saying, nope, let us take the money. We're going to bring systematic change, and then we're going to bring the thing like the youth core back, working core, and they're going to go back to working, and we're going to see families and unemployment rates drop and families increase their generational wealth because their kids aren't needing $100 for their phone bill and $50 to go to the movies girlfriend and all these different various things that they could be doing themselves with all the free time they got in the summer. If they're not doing tutoring or doing schoolwork, they need to be working.
Yeah, and bottom line. And it's very interesting because we haven't heard a peep from the Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights at all. And it would be nice to hear from the Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights to see...
Or the African-American Heritage, Justin Terrell.
Yeah, Justin Terrell has been running scared. And I have people calling me regarding that. And because there was something that... The Council of Minnesota's African Heritage is supposed to be a nonpartisan group. Okay? There are some Minnesota GOP elected officials that would like to do some town halls via Skype, Zoom, whatever. And or even an event where we could do social distancing. And I actually asked Mr. Terrell, a public figure, someone who works for the state of Minnesota. I asked Mr. Terrell, I said, hey, man, there's some GOP elected types that want to have a town hall meeting and talk about some of this stuff that's going on. You got a space? Can we do it? You know, and you co-sponsored and Our Black News will be another co-sponsor. And, you know, I haven't heard from him since. But that's the response that I've gotten for him since day one. Whereas other executive directors would have jumped on that.
And that's a really good way to put it. We haven't got those responses. And see, when you say, you know, I'm not going to be Democratic leaning, I'm not even going to be conservative leaning, I'm just going to ask you to have a sit down with us and have all sides be privy to the information that's going on and the ideas and goals that we are aspiring towards. And what you hear is the silence, because the silence has came from basically the left in Minnesota, the DFL party, or whatever the case may be, for so long, and they shut us up. Now we have, you know, outlets such as Our Black News and other various outlets that tell the truth on what's actually going on, and they can't keep the Band-Aid or the blood flowing from this issue of poverty,
yeah,
this issue of lack of education for the Black community. And I think we're putting the highlight on them, and the GOP is starting to hear us, and that's an amazing thing to see.
Yeah, and I think that's good, because, you know, we need to make sure that both sides are represented. This is a critical election, but you know what? I'm talking about locally here, Minneapolis and St. Paul, because this shit has went haywire, and we can say shit on our show, but it has gone haywire. And how do we fix this at this point? We have elected officials that will not sit down. They think their way. We have in Minneapolis, Sasha Cotton with the violence prevention program. I haven't seen her out in the hood, and I don't know what kind of relationship she has with anybody out in the hood, but I know that.
I don't see any of these people out here. Don, you know I'm out here all the time.
Yep.
You see the live feed. We're arguing. I've seen Matt. I talked to BJ out there a couple times. He knows.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out here for the women and children, I know, but I already told them to back up. So what else y'all doing out here? And these are the conversations I'm having with them. And I do this regularly, but I don't see these government. I don't see Justin Terrell. I haven't seen Justin Terrell since Thurman Blevins was killed, and I was demanding that the tape be released, and Drew Evans sent him out to the community to shut us up when we were asking about it. We were saying we don't care about anybody else, we just need to see the video. And Justin Terrell came out there to try to, you know, tap dance and head scratch for us. But we just didn't go up for it. And I think ever since then, he's had a lot on his plate as far as inquiring what the in the hell is going on at the African-American Heritage.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, we're not getting a lot of answers there. And then you got the African-American Leadership Forum. You have all these groups. And, you know, it's just tiring. We have yet to have a press conference from the Minneapolis Urban League or the Minneapolis or St. Paul NAACP. And you know what? We don't necessarily need to talk about the problems, but the solutions are important too. So if one of the things is if we can start working on this and start getting the solutions, it would be having these agencies get their heads out of the sand and come to the table with some legitimate stuff. You know, I know every one of these agencies is hurting. I know every one of these agencies need a government or a state or county grant. We know that already. We know that the Urban League is so broke that the Urban League of the Twin Cities that they could possibly shut their doors permanently without an infusion of cash. But that doesn't happen like in 3 days. It's been a 5-year process for this to happen. And arrogance does not work in the game of nonprofits. Arrogance does not work in the game of community. You can't go out to these community folks and talk like you better than them. Okay? That's why they don't support you now.
Right.
You know? So, and there's African American museum websites popping up where people are trying to like ask for donations.
That's another thing I heard about it. People have reached out to me, several people, and they're saying that the Somalian community, on the behalf of the Black community, which is, they said that they want to build a civil rights museum for us on the south side where the third precinct got burned down.
Yeah.
So they want to turn that into a Minnesota civil rights museum, which, you know, cool. But are we going to be allowed into these conversations? Is our Black News going to be able to host someone to build a civil press conferences where we're saying, we're asking the questions, we're narrating and dictating the conversation, because for so long, ever represented us, and now they want to build these things for us. And I think we have the, you know, enough education, I think we have enough knowledge to do it ourselves, but why are all these other groups being able to be heard and not us? And I think it from some of these inside groups who are shutting us up and don't want to hear the proposals. Like we said, Don, when we sit down and we give these proposals, whether it's $1 million for African American, African American press, or whatever the case may be, you know, we need to be able to direct those conversations and who's going to give that money to us. And we're going to keep pressing forward.
Yeah, I agree. We have about 1 minute left of this short, mini 30 minute show. Is there anything you'd like to do before we dance around the clock here with 1 minute, 36 seconds left?
Oh, yeah. Well, I just want to say that I think that the leadership within Minneapolis has to tighten it up, or we're going to see war zone type behavior on every weekend, uptown, downtown, all over the city, St. Paul. So we got to buckle up and get our thinking hat cats on, and we got to sit down and have those hard conversations.
Yeah, we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in for this special Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Father's Day program, but as the lady said, 60 seconds left. We'd like to thank you, and we might be back before Saturday, but if not, we'll see you and hear you and listen to you this Saturday at 9:30 a.m. on Our Black News.